a heavenly sound. Is that coming from heaven? A little synthesizer thing? Somebody's tapping into heaven. Let me hear it one more time. Where is it? Maybe it was angels or something. I don't hear it anymore. There it is. One more time. Let's just stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Come on. He is the first and he has the preeminence. And we recognize his lordship. Let's give a round of applause to our Lord and Savior. Come on now. Jesus. 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 You can be seated. So we've come into the new year, the year of 2020 vision, talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Today I want to title the message, Lordship and the Authority of God. And you know, when speaking on lordship, we must understand that lordship begins with authority. His ultimate and supreme authority as Christ over all of his creation. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Christ is the creator. And we understand that to be true. And if it is true, then he does have the preeminence, as this last song has stated. That means that he is first in all of creation. He is supreme. He has the preeminence. And if he is the creator, then it only makes sense that he is the Lord over his creation. And so when we talk about Christ as being Lord, we are talking about meeting his authority. We are talking about recognizing, respecting, and then submitting to his authority over our lives. Recently, I've talked about handing him over the key ring of our life. In Scripture, the keys represent authority. Before you were introduced to Christ and before you surrendered to him, the key ring to your life was in your hands. You had the ultimate authority in your life. When you surrender to him, it means that you handed over the key ring of your life to another. And so, when we meet Christ's authority and surrender to him, he becomes the Lord of our life. He owns our key ring. And this basically becomes the very essence of Christianity. He is my Lord. I surrender and submit to his authority. And so much of what we've been talking about over the past several weeks is just that. Recognizing, respecting, and submitting to the authority of God. But for the most part, it's only been one directional. And that's towards his direct authority. And usually when you hear good teachings about lordship, it only focuses in one direction. It's only a vertical focus. You and I submitting to the authority of Christ, the supreme and the ultimate authority, the one who has the preeminence. And we never take it beyond that to really understand lordship. And we understand this and we believe this, and this is the most important part or place of lordship, that we would come under his direct authority. That Christ himself is the only one that could give us eternal life. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is ultimately in charge of my life. And I will ultimately one day give an account of my life to him. However, today we're going to take it a step further. Or basically in another direction. And we're still talking about God's authority. Up until now, we've been talking about his direct authority. To take it a step further, we now must talk about God's indirect authority. Or God's delegated authority. Notice what I said, God's authority. God's delegated authority. God's indirect authority. I'm not just talking about authority. I'm talking about God's authority. Up until now, we've been talking on a vertical plane about God's direct authority. We must take it a step further if we are really going to understand the lordship of Christ and coming under his authority. It is two directional. It's not just vertical, meaning God's authority, but it's also horizontal, meaning God's indirect authority that comes through an equal. You could see it in the symbol of the cross. There is a vertical part of the cross that speaks about God's direct authority. And that's the starting point of understanding authority. But then there is a horizontal place in the cross that speaks of God's indirect authority that comes through our equals. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except it come from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so Paul is saying that all authorities begin with God. He's the author of authority. There is no authority except it come from God. Paul is saying all authority begins with God, and that means he is also the ultimate authority. But Paul also says he's the one that establishes authority. Or we could say he's the one that establishes realms of authority or institutions of his authority. And so according to this verse, if this is true that God is the author of authority, that he is the ultimate authority, and if it is true that he is the one, God establishes realms of authority, then that speaks to us that all authorities, not just talking about the church, all authorities in the earth must give an account to the ultimate authority. We're not just talking about church. In fact, Paul specifically, directly, is not even talking about the church, although it talks about all authorities everywhere. But in this case of Romans 13, he's specifically talking about civil authorities. He's talking about authorities in government, authorities in every level of government, to the policeman you meet on the street. Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities here in the earth, in the natural. Let every soul. So that tells us every soul be subject to the governing authorities. In other words, what Paul is saying pertains to every realm, every institution, whether it be in the family, whether it be in business, whether it be in civil government, whether it be in the church. No, every realm of authority he is speaking about. And so Paul is saying that we must recognize and submit to God's authority through the deputies, or through the delegates that have been appointed. Now follow me. If you go down a couple of verses to verse 4, Paul says this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for he or the authorities are God's servants, are God's ministers. Come on now. You don't have to be a Christian. If you have a place of authority anywhere in this earth, in any realm, you, my friend, are a servant of God, and don't ever forget that. You don't even have to know God. You can worship a different God. It doesn't matter. At the end, we will all give an account for our realm of authority. We are servants of God. We are ministers of God. And so whenever you teach on leadership or authority, you've got to teach on this verse that all authority in whatever realm, it doesn't matter. All authority, they are ministers of God. Now look what he says here. For your good. or for the good of those who are under their authority. Now, this is real important. In other words, God has always intended for the authorities that be to be for the good of those who are subject to that authority, for the good of those in whom they are influencing or in whom they have authority over. This is real important. I went and looked through some commentaries, and I found a great commentary that said this, and it's just quoted right out. I copied and pasted it. When it talks about for good or for the good of the people, here's what he says. For good, that is to protect you in your rights, to vindicate your name, person, or property, to guard your liberty, and to secure to you the results of your industry. The magistrates or the delegates or deputies are not appointed directly to reward people, but they practically furnish a reward by protecting and defending them and securing to them the interests of justice. And so when Paul says that the authorities that be are servants and ministers of God for your good, this is what he is saying. He's basically saying God intends all authorities to be for your good, not to harm you or abuse you or to rob from you or take advantage of you, but protect you as a person and protect your liberty and to seek out justice on your behalf. Come on now. This is God's intention for leadership. Now, we already know, and I know some of you are thinking, not all authority is for our good. This scripture is not saying that every person who is in authority has been directly placed in that place of authority by the hand of God. It's not saying that. Do you really think God appointed Hitler to be the leader in Germany? Do you really, with a reasonable mind, think God did that? Killed millions of innocent people, men, women, and children, millions. Come on now. Do you really think so? Do you really think God sets in place the tyrant, the abuser, the thief over his people? Come on now. It's not saying that. So you got to rightly divide the word of God. The Holy Spirit is basically saying God intends all authority to be ministers of God, servants of God for the good of the subjects. But we know that this is not always the case. The purpose of this teaching isn't to get into abusive authority or when it's right to disobey authorities, because there is a time that it is right, but that's not what we're talking about today. What I want to focus on is the principle of God's delegated authority, God's deputies, and recognizing, respecting, and submitting to that authority as if we were submitting to God. I think it's very evident that we do live in a very rebellious culture. There is an outbreak of the spirit of rebellion. It's at an all-time high in every realm or institution, wherever there is authority. Authority is being challenged, undermined, disrespected, disregarded, usurped, and disobeyed. Whether you talk about in the schools, the teachers who are the delegates of God in the school system, the policemen who are delegates on the streets, the parents who are delegates of God in the home, the spirit of rebellion, it is on a rise. There's no respect for authority, even in the church. Come on now. In fact, Christians can be the most rebellious of all. They just pretty their rebellion up. They make it look sanctified. Come on now. That's what religious people do. They make it look sanctified. Sanctified rebellion. You see, when submission becomes hard, or you don't get your way, or you don't get what you want when you want it, or when you get offended because somebody checks you, or because somebody speaks into your life or adjusts you or tells you that you're doing something that's not pleasing to God or is hurtful to somebody else. You know what sanctified rebellion is? I mean, God is speaking to me. God is telling me I need to go to another church where there's some love happening in that church. Come on now. As if love gives you the permission to act like a devil, to be unteachable, to be full of pride. Come on, that ain't the love of God. Somebody say sanctified rebellion. Just say that. Sanctified rebellion. And you see, because Christians, for the most part, they only have this one directional connection with authority, and that's between them and God. And they never understand anything about horizontal. They never understand about anything about submitting to their equals who have the authority of God. Many times, they feel like they don't need to come under man's authority. I mean, all over the church, God is my God. Jesus is my Savior. I only take directives from the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can speak into my life. He's the only one that could correct me. Get out of my face. I don't need man in my life. Submission to man. Come on now. Let me tell you, that is an affront to God. That is an insult to God. Because Christians, for the most part, only understand God's direct authority, it creates anarchy. I'm not talking about anarchy out there in the crazy world. I'm talking about anarchy in the church. Anarchy. The definition is the state of disorder and rebellion due to the lack of recognition and respect for authority. It's lawlessness, basically. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Don't try to restrict me. Don't try to tell me what to do. Don't try to speak into my, don't try to adjust me. Jesus is my Lord. The Spirit is the one that I submit to. I don't need to submit to no man's authority. I'm coming to church to hear some good word that can make me blessed and hear some good music. Don't try to check me. Don't try to speak into my life. Don't try to adjust me. Come on now. Anarchy. Anarchy always comes before this other important word called sedition. And the word sedition is specifically mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament in a list of sins that speak about the works of the flesh. And Paul is writing to the Galatian church. He's talking to the Christians, the believers, the Spirit-filled believers. He's talking to them. And one of these sins of the work of the flesh is sedition. And sedition means to incite others to rebel. And even to overthrow authority. That's what sedition is. Paul mentions it. Paul basically is saying when you are living in your flesh, it will make you prone to sedition. So anarchy, lawlessness, will eventually lead to this word, sedition, inciting others to rebel and overthrow authority. But when Christians are involved in sedition, it's usually not some outright overthrowing of authority or some type of state of revolution. Again, it's more subtle. It's more sanctified. I mean, it's sanctified sedition. Yeah, it is. It's subtly subverting and undermining delegated authority by planting little teeny seeds in the minds of people, seeds of discord and distrust as they try to win the hearts of the people over. Come on, it doesn't happen over. Nobody stands up one day and says, I'm taking over. I'm the new leader. No, you don't do that. You'd be crazy. No, the devil is more subtle. And so it's done under the guise of religiosity like Absalom did. Absalom, David's son, had a rift with his father and started to hate his father and went to the gate of the city and intercepted all of the people that came to the city to see the king. He stopped them and he began to sow seeds of distrust in the minds of the people saying, he ain't got no time for you. He's just into his own glory. He don't have time for the common person. He don't care. He don't care what you're going through. I care. And I'll pray for you. And I'll be here for you. Did anybody tell you they love you today? Oh, no. Well, I love you. I'll take care of you. And so little by little, Absalom began to sow seeds of discord. It didn't happen in one day or 2 days or 3 weeks. This took a long process of time. And what was Absalom doing at the gate? Well, he was at the gate sowing the seeds of sedition. He had one eye on the throne because the ultimate end of sedition is to overthrow authority. And he did. I believe God is dealing with rebellion. Come on now. In the world. I mean, everywhere. God is the one who creates the realms of authority. I believe we are in a season that God is dealing with rebellion everywhere. But you know where it starts? Before he starts dealing with it in the world, he deals with it in the church. Right there, judgment begins in the house of God. That's where God starts to deal with an issue in the world. He starts to deal with it in his house. I want to go back to delegated authority and look at Luke chapter 20. Jesus speaks very specifically about this. Starting in verse 9, then Jesus began to tell the people a parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to his farmers or his vine dressers. Went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, the time of the harvest, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they may give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant and they beat him also, treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third and they wounded him and just cast him out. The next verse, then the owner of the vineyard said, well, what am I going to do about this? I know what I'll do. I'll send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to another. And so in this text, Jesus is specifically putting his finger on Israel. He's talking specifically now, but you could apply this in principle. He's specifically talking about Israel and about the delegates or the representatives that God sent to his people over the years. More specifically, he was talking about the prophets that God sent in his name to the vine dressers of the vineyard, Israel. And they rejected the authorities. They killed the prophets. They killed the authorities, including to the last one or delegate he sent, and that was his own beloved son, Jesus. But let's look at this in principle because it's important. The point that Jesus is making is God is at work in the vineyard. God is at work in the earth through his delegates. That's really important. God is at work in the earth through his delegates. Let me give you a few observations without expounding because I want to move through this. My first observation is the Lord did not come personally to gather his prophets. or the rent from the vine dressers. Number two, the ones that he sent, they were delegates, even his very own son. Number three, it was an affront to the owner of the vineyard. It was an affront to God that his delegates were rejected. Number four, in rejecting his delegates, they were in fact rejecting the Lord of the vineyard. Come on. In other words, when they rejected the delegates that were sent, the Lord said, "You are rejecting me." The Lord took it personally. How they disregarded, disrespected, they beat up, they killed the prophets that were sent to them. The Lord is saying, in this text, you got to get this. The Lord is saying, the way you treated them is the way that you treated me. Number five, they failed to see God's authority in the delegates. The sixth one we saw at the end verse, the Lord will deal with the rebellious. Those who disregard and disrespect delegated authority. The Lord will deal with the rebellious. Let me ask you a question. What if the Lord came personally? Come on now, let's bring this home. What if the Lord decided not to send a delegate, but go to the vineyard himself? I mean, don't you think they would respect? Absolutely, they would respect him. Why, this is the Lord. Then we know this is his vineyard. We know he gave us to become stewards over the vineyard. We understand, and we seem, oh, here comes the Lord. Let's tidy up. Oh my gosh, the Lord is actually coming to the vineyard. Yes, he's going to want his increase. He's going to want, you know, what belongs to him. He's going to want his rent. Come on, let's get things together and welcome and greet the Lord. The Lord is coming to see us in the vineyard. And this is the way it usually is. We would all much rather deal and submit to God's direct authority instead of delegated authority. But that's not the way God does it. God uses delegated authority. Whether you talk about in the family, in the church, in civil government, in business, out on the sports field, I'm telling you, God is going to work through delegated authority. And when we meet God's authority in his delegates, we are meeting the authority of God itself. Oh, we got to change our perspective. Oh, we sure do. John 13:20, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him that sent me." So here Jesus is basically saying what the parable was saying. The parable was basically saying the Lord of the vine, the vineyard, sent his delegates. The way they did not receive the delegates that were sent was the way they did not receive the Lord that sent them. I mean, Jesus is saying it. I say to you, he who receives whomever I send, they ultimately receive me. If they disregard, if they disrespect, if they dishonor, if they mistreat the ones that I send, hey, Jesus says, that's the way they're treating me. And oh, it goes another step further. And if they don't receive the ones I sent, then they don't receive the one that sent me, the Father. And so here Jesus gives us the chain of authority. The one who sent Jesus, that same authority is in the delegates that Jesus sent. His deputies, the servants, his ministers in every realm of life. And so here Jesus is talking to us about respecting authority. How we treat the physical authorities that are in our life is the way we treat Jesus. The way we treat Jesus is the way we treat the Father. So almost everything that God does, listen to this statement, almost everything that God does in the earth is through delegated authority. See it in the parable. God didn't go personally. The Lord didn't go personally. He sent his delegates. He could have gone personally, but he didn't. He sent his delegates. Almost everything that God does in the earth is through the delegates. Almost all authority has been delegated authority. You could see it with Adam and Eve. God didn't come down and cultivate the earth. God didn't come down himself with the angels and the Holy Spirit and till the ground. God didn't come down and subdue the earth, provoke the earth to produce fruit, multiply and increase, subdue the earth and take dominion. God didn't do it. God gave that authority to Adam and Eve, delegated authority. There's the pattern right there. Almost everything, almost, I say, everything that God does in the earth, almost, is done through delegated authority. We see the same thing in the family. Parents are delegated authority in the institution of the family, in the realm of the family. They are servants of God. Parents are ministers of the Lord in their household. God has intended for children to meet God for the first time through their father and their mother. Their introduction to God Almighty is through the delegates. When they see their parents, they should be seeing the image and characteristics of God. God intended it that way. God ain't coming in to parent your kids. God is not coming in to parent your kids. He does it through his delegates. He invests his authority into them. And when they nurture and care and affirm their children, they are being affirmed by God himself. And when they bring order and discipline, they are bringing order and discipline by the authority of God working through them. After Jesus rose from the dead, he commissioned his disciples as deputies. Remember, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go, therefore, go into all the world, preach the gospel, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, baptize nations, saying, you are my delegates. Man, he said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they reject you, they reject me, and they reject the one that sent me. See, the same thing in the church. If we have time, we'll look at a couple of real important scriptures. But if we could just remember this, almost everything that God does in the earth today is through delegated authority. Almost all authority has been delegated authority. Now, I got to give you a disclaimer because I know how some people think. Some people leave this place and say, Pastor Rob is telling me I can only go through man to get to God. Oh, no, no, we're not saying that. No, you are supposed to have your own relationship with God. See, what I'm talking about doesn't mean that God won't speak to you directly. It doesn't mean that God can't speak to you by his Spirit or by his Word. It doesn't mean that you can't be led by the Holy Ghost or you can't receive something directly from God. Listen, it doesn't mean that. We preach the priesthood of every believer. You are a priest unto God. You have a right to go into the presence of God. God will have a relationship with you. He will impart certain things into your life. He will speak to you. He will guide you. Come on now. We're not talking about undermining the priesthood of the believers, but that does not mean that everything you get is going to come from God. It does not mean it's going to come directly from God. And we are not excused. We don't have permission to bypass delegated authority or have this attitude. We're only accountable to God. He's the only one that could speak into my life. I'm only submitted to him. I don't answer to man. No, no, no. That mentality breeds rebellion, anarchy, and sedition. And you cannot think for a moment that you could have that mentality and still stay in the good graces of God. You can't. You may think that you are submitting to a man, but you are actually submitting to God. That's heavy. Not many people preach it like that. And when you rebel against delegated authority, mark it down, take it home. You rebel against God. We must be subject, that first verse we read, Romans 13, to the governing authorities that be. It wasn't an option. It was a command. Let me throw this out to you as well. If you are a believer and you want to wield spiritual authority, you want demons to tremble at your words and at your command. If you're a believer and you want a legitimate ministry, if God is speaking to your heart about your destiny and your calling and you want to lead other people, you cannot be no renegade. You cannot be a renegade and be trusted with spiritual authority and God giving you a platform. It'll never happen. If you don't come under delegated authority and submit yourselves, you will just be a self-proclaimed leader if you force it. You will have illegitimate authority. Christians ought to be the most submitted people on the planet. We should always be looking for authority. I mean, whatever context you step into, whatever realm you enter into, you should be asking the question, who's in charge around here? Who's the boss? Who's in charge? Who am I supposed to answer to? See, renegades don't do that. Renegades think that they are an island unto them. They could do anything. They could do anything. They ain't answering to nobody. Jesus is my Lord. Holy Ghost leads me. I can do whatever I want. No. Christians ought to be the most submitted horizontally to their equals, to delegated authority. When we understand authority, when we understand that authority is supposed to be submitted to in whatever realm you are talking about, when you understand that, you'd be asking the question, who is in charge around here? And you will in no wise disrespect or dishonor the authorities that be. I don't know if anybody's out there. These lights are really blinding. I don't see one face. We may put the lights on and have an empty arena here, have an empty congregation. Maybe you all left. Is anybody out there? Somebody over here. If you look at the great apostle Paul, I want to take a look at him real quick before we bring this to a close. He had to learn to recognize the authority of God through a delegate. Before he could have his platform or exert spiritual authority. Before God would grant him his ministry. God had to teach him how to be a submitted man. Not just to the direct authority of Christ, but to his equals who had the authority of God in them. From the very beginning of his conversion, Jesus began immediately. I want you to take note. Immediately, Jesus began to talk to him about authority that comes through his equals, delegated authority. And his pride was about to be tested. Let me give you a little scenario. Acts chapter 9, some of you know it. Paul's encounter with God on the road to Damascus. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he is actually on his way to the city of Damascus to kill Christians. He was a terrorist. He divided families. He locked up fathers. He had consented to the death and the stoning of many. He was responsible for the death of many Christians. And on his way to Damascus, the glory of God shone around him. Christ revealed himself in his glory, literally knocked him off of his horse, high horse, literally. He's on his face sucking dust. He's blinded by the glory of God. He could not see. And in this state of humiliation, he says in verse 5, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads or against the prod, the cattle prod." So Paul trembles and he's astonished. And he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So in this moment, we see Paul meets the direct authority of God. Hands down, no other way to interpret this. Jesus Christ himself, in all of his glory, came. He appears to Paul, blinds him by the light. Paul is surrendered, and he even calls him Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? He handed over right there the reins. He handed over the key ring right there. He surrendered to the direct authority of Christ Jesus. Do you see that? That's the most important thing, but it wasn't enough. The next step, when he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, you're going to be led like a blind man to Damascus, but when you get there, I will show you your next step. When you get to verse 10, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling him, Ananias? Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, you go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, you ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying right now. I've shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he could see. So let's look at this. The Lord is connecting Paul to a believer. His name is Ananias. In fact, it's the only time he's mentioned, this guy, in the whole New Testament. He's really kind of like an ordinary guy. Nothing special about him. Except he was one of God's delegates. Come on now. Except he was one of God's delegates. Except that he was a deputy and had the authority of God. So the Lord sends him to a guy that's really not known amongst the people, but he is a delegate of the Lord. And the Lord is telling Saul, I want you to meet my delegate. I want your pride to be broken. Yes, he's a known name and you're this big Pharisee. I want you to humble yourself and submit to this delegate. I know you've had an encounter with me directly, Saul, but from here on out, a lot of what I'm going to do in your life is going to come through the authority of your equals. Now, Saul, go to Damascus and submit yourself to this no name, Ananias. Paul meets with Ananias. He encounters the authority of Jesus. He submits himself to Ananias just as he did to Jesus on the road of Damascus. Ananias prays for him, lays his hands on him, ministers the power of God to him. Paul receives his sight. Then he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul meets the direct authority of God first. And now he meets the indirect authority of God second. Don't you think Jesus could have done all that? I mean, right there, it could have been done, like right there. On the road to Damascus. Here, Paul, let me show you my power. Stand back. Poof. Your eyes are open. I'm the all-powerful one. Let me lay hands on you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. Bam! Filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you a little bit about your ministry and the next steps that you are going to take to be a great apostle in my kingdom. He could have done it. Come on now. Jesus could have done it, but he didn't do it because he wanted Paul to humble himself. He wanted to see if Paul would submit to an equal, that he would submit to a delegate. And when he surrendered, and when he submitted himself to Ananias, God was saying, yes, this man can submit to me. It's one thing submitting to the direct authority of God. It's a whole nother thing to submit to the indirect authority of God. What if Paul just had the attitude, what? This is crazy. This is crazy. I just had the number one experience that everybody in life would want. I had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. He spoke to me. I heard him. I mean, I felt his presence. I talked to God Almighty. He talked back to me. And I ain't cementing no man. No human being. I am connected. I am tuned in to God Almighty. almighty, the indirect authority of God. That's all I need. That's all I need. I just need God. That's all I need. God's saying, no, Saul, you need more than me. You need to connect with my indirect authority. All of what I'm going to do, or most of what I'm going to do, is going to come through an equal. If Saul said, no, I don't want no man in my face. I only want to be in the face of God. I don't want anybody speaking into my life. I don't want anybody knowing about my life. I don't want anybody trying to correct me or adjust me. God and the Holy Spirit will. Let me tell you something. He would have aborted his ministry. He would have ruined his future. God would have had to choose another person if Saul acted in pride like that. Come on now. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so Paul wasn't so much looking at the man, Ananias, as he was looking at the authority of Jesus in the man. It doesn't require much to humble and submit to God's direct authority. But it does require humility. It does require brokenness to come under delegated authority. You see, we got to start looking for God's authority and his delegates and respect that authority. Not just recognize it, respect it. Hey, I'm talking about every area in life, in the family, on the job. I wish I had time to show you scripture. I'll show you the scriptures point blank. In the family, on the job, in civil government, God says recognize, respect, and submit to the authorities that be. In the church, how you treat them is how you're treating me. You want it to go well with you? You recognize, respect, and honor, and submit to the authorities that be. You want your ministry? Here's where it starts. Just same thing with Paul. Same thing with Paul. Starts right here, Paul. Oh, I got a ministry. If you even knew the ministry I had for you, Paul, you would not in a million years be able to imagine what I'm going to do through your life and the impact it's going to have throughout the ages. You have no idea, but here's where it starts. You go to a known name who has my authority and you submit to him. Let's see how you act. Let's see if you receive. Let's see if you're teachable. Let's see if you respect him. I want you to stand to your feet. Come on, let's all stand up. Just for a moment, I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. First, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive us for having carnal eyes and oftentimes looking at things in the flesh. And how often we have not recognized the authorities that you have sent to us. How often we have not recognized, but also disrespected and dishonored the authorities you've placed around us in our life. Whatever realm we can apply this to, we can apply it. Forgive us, Lord, for showing signs of dishonor, being unteachable, being rebellious. Now we really understand, God, that how we treat the ones you send to us is exactly how we treat you. And that's exactly how you see it, God. Lord, bring order to our lives. We ask you to forgive us. We repent of disrespecting authority and dishonoring the authorities that be. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for sowing seeds of discord. Forgive us, Lord, if in any way we have sown seeds of sedition or discord or mistrust or dishonor into the lives of anyone, to try to justify our rebellion. We come to the foot of the cross in the blood of Jesus. We ask you to forgive us, oh God. Forgive us and help us, Lord, to see the authorities that be as servants of God, even though we're not perfect. No physical, natural authority is perfect, but you still say to recognize, respect, and submit to the authorities as if we were submitting directly to you. Lord, we could preach a message like this in this church because of where you want to take us. The future that you've laid out for us, we cannot be a church of nonsense. But Lord, raise up sons and daughters of God that mean business. That we would be submitted sons and daughters of God. That we would respect the authorities that are in our life. And Lord, that we would submit not only when it feels good, but even when it doesn't feel good. We will keep intact our respect and our honor, understanding that the way we treat them is the way we treat you. And if we receive them, we receive Jesus, and we receive the one that sent Jesus. Heavenly Father, let it begin with us. Help us to become a submitted son and daughter of God. First vertically and then horizontally. May our lives thrive and be fruitful. And may we be a people that make an impact beyond measure in the place or places you place us in this life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. Praise God. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. The cafe is open. What are those things called? Tamales? Tamales are available. And if you are a guest, make sure you stop by the NBCC Cafe. Show them that text message and get your cannoli and any coffee drink on the house. Be blessed.